Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Appreciate the song. God's good, isn't he? Amen. I want more of you, God. I don't know how much, God, you have or think you have. If you're 30, 60, or 100-fold, whatever you think you have, I think you'd have the same thought. I want more of you, God. Amen. I want less of me and more of him. Amen. Sometimes we like a lot of ourselves and a little of him. But we'll never go where God would have us to go in those kind of situations. Amen. How many want more of God? Amen. How many want to walk in greater heights and depths and widths with him? Friday night, the Lord, man, was just in my spirit. And it just kept coming as an unknown tongue, kept coming and coming. And I've been talking to the Lord, and he's been dealing with me about things, but it kept coming as an unknown tongue. And it just was in my spirit. I'm thinking, okay, well, Lord, you've given me a gift of interpretation, and you're going to have to unveil this to me. And I kept on and kept on and kept on tearing and kept on waiting. And he dealt with me again yesterday and last night and this morning. An unknown tongue is exactly what it is. It's unknown. But then he revealed it to me. But then when I come to speak it, it keeps coming forth as an unknown tongue. So I was troubled about that. And I said, well, Lord, I know you wouldn't hide this from the brethren and things. And then I think as I was pondering and looking, then I go over and look at the disciples. And they went to the Lord and they said, why do you speak in parables? Why don't you just unveil it, bring it forth? And, I remember questioning Brother Pike even at times. I thought, because something that had been enlightened to me or come revelation to me or been revealed to me. And then I would hear him speaking about it, and he would be speaking it in a veil. And then as the Lord expressed and showed, there's many times it'll be that way. He said, some of these things are sealed up and hid away. And you say, well, they've got to come forth in the end time. They have to come forth. Well, Brother Pike made a statement back. It would have been probably about 95. And he said, it's finished. He said, it's hit the mark. And you think, well, how could it have been finished then? Well, it was finished about 2,000 years before then. Amen. All of these things that are taking place are unveiling that and showing it to us, that we could perceive it, see it, comprehend it, understand it. And the thing is it's got to come to a revelation to you and I. There's some things that have to be. And some of the things are so simplistic. I made mention Wednesday night about the message. I think I made mention on about Wednesday. And I maybe even made it last Sunday. I'm not sure. But I was listening to a message. And Brother Pike said about three times, he said, basically what he said, nobody's going to understand this. And he's right. There was things that went in that fourth message. It's impossible for anybody to totally put it together because they all had to do with personalities of people all the way through this whole thing. It was people and personalities and the significance that they had. And if you didn't know the individual, when he would reach over and he'd speak of Bill York or speak of another man, it would like, what's that have to do with anything? Unless you saw the significance of the man's life. There's people in this church that have great significances. And if you would understand what their role is in a revelational thing, then we could say whether it's an allegory. Well, surely it is. But then yet there could be such a magnificent significance of their goings and their places and what they're doing and where they're at in the day and the moment that it would unveil something of the spiritual realm when you watch a man's life and understand what he has to deal with. You know, Brother John sitting in the back row has to do with the mediator. I can go and unveil it. But see, we get into all kinds of things to unveil it, Brother N, to understand, well, why would John have to do with the mediator? The Lord Jesus had to do with the mediator between God and man. You know, and he came as the Son of Man and the Son of God. He came in the image of darkness. He came in the image of sin. Is that correct? But then yet, it was all power of heaven, and all authority that had ever been given unto men was all laying right in there. And this brother runs right in that very same thing, and things that have taken place in this present time and the day that would seem insignificant to people. But it has to do with one of the most powerful things in the kingdom of God, of showing the return of our Lord and Savior to the Jew. You know, and you're a Gentile, number one. That means your day's cut off and done. The dispensation of grace, the time of grace is over. So, you know, there's always a beautiful thing and a terrible thing at the same time. You know what I'm saying? You think of somebody's death, you think, oh man, that's so terrible. But then yet it's the most glorious, beautiful thing because they've stepped in the rewards of all of eternity. You know, when they've can't die, we know that. They've already died the only death they'll ever die with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's an honor again to have my father come in with us today and his wife, Sister Grace, and be in fellowship with us today. I know Brother John mentioned he just celebrated his 90th birthday. And after church today, you're welcome if he's going to go up to Shogun and treat his son to dinner for his birthday. I think we need to put the earphones on him. And that was a very significant thing just said. He didn't even hear it. And amen. Y'all love the Lord. Amen. Brother Pete will lead us in a song. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to get Brother Emmanuel up this morning, give him an opportunity, very timely, and thanks of some of the things that we could be perceiving and seeing. A man could have a name of God with us and be nothing but the devil. I'm not saying that to... yeah, come on up, brother, you know. But significance of a name, yes, is very significant. And you know, there's sometimes people run a pattern, a name. You know, you say, man, I'd like that name, Emmanuel. Well, there's a lot of things that come with it. Crucifixion, rejection, hate, animosities, strife, jealousies. I mean, all these things come with it, you know. And man, I want to be like Christ. You do? You want to be like Jesus? Amen. And prepare to suffer. Amen. You know, a lot of times, you know, people, they say, man, I want to be a preacher. Boy, I'm going to be up in the front, and I'm going to be doing this and doing that. And I say, yeah, you're deceived. A lot more goes to it than that. There's going to be some nights that you're travailing before the Lord, thinking, Lord God, help me, Jesus. That, you know, it would reveal things that just tear you out of the frame about people and person. And you think, you know, I've got to do something about this. And a lot of times, you know, it's like, you know, some ministries, it's like, man, I'm just not going to shake the boat. You know, I'm just going to let it lay. I'm going to let it go. You know, just, man, it's just going to be a problem. But, you know, there's, that isn't always the case of it. A doctor sometimes knows that there's an element laying within your flesh that'll kill you and destroy you. And he can say, man, it's going to be painful to cut into this guy. Oh, the healing process is going to be terrible. You know, the rehabilitation is going to be painful. Let's just let him die. But sometimes they got to take and rend that veil, amen, and go in and deal with the complication. Brother Pete, as he leads us in a song, let's worship the Lord. Brother Emmanuel prepares to come up.
When the Savior calls, I will answer.
He's calling. He's waiting for you to pick up, amen.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening on my lane. I'll be somewhere.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
If my heart is right, somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Hallelujah.
If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
If my robe is
Hallelujah.
White when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Sing with me now. Well, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. First verse again. When the Savior calls, I will answer.
Thank you, Lord.
When he calls my name, I will hear him. When my Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Listen for my name. And I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere. Be somewhere listening for my name.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You think of you being the mother. Brother Man, go ahead and come on up behind the sacred desk. But you think of you being the mother, and you bring forth a child, and you got to submit to him. Speaking of the bride, bringing forth a child. Same as Mary. You know, the people don't, it's not recorded in the scriptures. And, you know, she loved her son, but think about her having to submit to her own son. I brought you into this world, you little chump. I whooped your tail when you was a little fella and this and that. But now she had to bow down to worship him, that he could become her Lord and Savior. We, every one of us still with that. Every single one of us is that quickening spirit of God that's birthed. And then all of a sudden, we've got to make this man bow down and say, listen, you're the king, you're the Lord, you're the master. I submit to you. I follow you. And a lot of times we think, you know, we think in Christianity, we think very shallow. We think, well, you know, man, we're the children of God, and man, he's just going to lead us into all blessings and lead us into all these wonderful things. Well, you've never had your eyes opened. The Son of Man was in the garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood, thinking, Lord, if this cup could pass. This is the part we fail to teach and believe in the churches today. He said, equip yourself with a mind to suffer, to be hated, to be abused, to be lied against. Amen? You know, I remember ministering a message, you know, about the Lord had to have a Judas. You know, I don't want to be that Judas, but he has to have one. Judas had to be. He was a very important role in the kingdom of God, and he had to be. And God has to have one today. God's going to send one to persecute you. Just always remember, make sure you're not the one doing that. But God's going to send somebody to persecute you, to cause you problems, you know, to just tear your day up. He's going to do it. He's going to do things to do that to you, you know. And what we do is we smile back and we say, praise God. It's awesome to be a child of God. And if I'm going through despair, rejections, and hate, and all these kind of things, man, I do it with all joy. Amen. It's unto the Lord. I found worthy. Amen. Peter decided, you know, hey, I can't be crucified like that. Man, just let me be crucified upside down. The way just about every child comes into the world is upside down. They're going to come in showing that rejection, showing that casting out. Every child. You think, that's a beautiful little baby. Yeah, it still has a pattern, still runs the pattern. Amen. And that little baby is going to have to be turned around upright, up into righteousness, and get filled with the spirit of truth and power and walk in the spirit. Let's give the Lord a hand and give Brother Emmanuel a hand. Amen. We yield to him this morning.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. This is a real surprise, Brother John. Brother Rob always calls on me when I don't feel qualified to be up here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning, God. Lord, as a man, Lord, I'm empty, Lord. Spirit man, Lord, I know it's full, God. God, I ask you, Lord, to help me this morning, Lord God, to walk in your spirit, Lord, to say what you would have me to say, Father, and be what you would want me to be, God. Help me this morning, Lord God. I need your help, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. Well, I've been kind of pondering on some different things for a little while now, and been pondering on, you know, visible and invisible a lot, you know, walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. The visible world, Brother Rob uses Romans 1:20 a lot for a foundation, because Brother Paul the Apostle, he said the visible things are seen by the things that, or the invisible things are seen by the things that are visible. So I've been pondering on that a lot, Brother Dale, asking the Lord to help me to really see in the Spirit, you know, because so many times I'm guilty as a man of thinking I'm seeing and I'm not really seeing what I should be seeing. Because everything natural, man's relative to everything that's natural, and everything that's spiritual, we're not relative to that, but the spirit man is. And I've just been pondering on that a lot, you know, asking the Lord to help me. Because, you know, a lot of times as a man, we get caught in these types and shadow realms. You know, I was talking to Brother Rob about that a little bit last night, and seeing the shadows. But when we're seeing the shadows, we're not in the light. We're in the wilderness, the second heaven. And I've been thinking about that a lot, Brother Pete, asking the Lord to help me to be able to differentiate these worlds and to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Because so many times I think I know something as a man, Brother Rob, and then I find out that I don't know what I thought I knew. That's pretty humbling a lot, you know, as a man, to when the Lord, you know, when you open something up to you and you thought, well, man, I've been hearing this for a long time, and then the Lord starts bringing it to you. You know, I don't claim to know a lot, but I know I got God's Spirit. And I know he works on me all the time, like that song was saying, set a fire down in my soul. I feel that moving inside of me, you know, and I feel God constantly pushing me, saying, son, you better walk in obedience. You better do right. No, don't do that. Don't think that. Don't do that. You know, and it's constantly pushing me. I was told Brother Rob, I was listening to a message of Brother George the other day, and I had an awakening. I was listening to this message that he was saying, and he was exhorting people, Brother Jonathan. He was talking about, you know, coming up there and not feeling a draw and things. And he said, when you get your mind on your job, you get your mind on your car, you get your mind on your house, you get your mind on all these natural things, he said, you're automatically cut off from God. And I thought, my Lord, that's pretty hard, you know, hearing it that way, Brother Chuck. And he said, because the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. You know, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And he said that when you're carnal minded, you're automatically cut off from God. And I thought, my Lord, help me, Jesus. And I'm sitting there repenting in the truck, going down the road and asking the Lord to help me. Because, you know, I don't want to be carnally minded, but I find myself a lot of times yielding to the carnal mind. And he kept on exhorting. And he said, he said, when you come as a man, he said, and you come to the realization, he said, that you have to forget about everything that I ever knew as a man, everything I want to do, every ambition I wanted to be, everything I wanted to be. And he said, I forget about that. He said, and you forget totally about that, and you bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ, cast down everything of my wants and wishes, and to forget about that. He said, now you've given your body as a reasonable sacrifice. I thought, my Lord, I hadn't even scratched the surface. And then Brother Rob calls me up here this morning. I'm thinking, man, I don't feel fit to be a Christian, much less a minister, you know, because I hadn't even scratched the surface what little bit. And we do a little bit here and there and go out on a church job for maybe a few hours, and then we think we've done something. And then if we think about what he's saying there, and I'm starting to see a lot more of this stuff, and I'm thinking, man, I should be all the time doing something as under the Lord. You know, that's why Brother Rob said when we go on a job, we labor as under the Lord. And we're doing it, it can become spiritual because we're laboring to keep a reproach off of us, to support our family, because the Bible says if a man can't support his own home, he's worse than an infidel, which is an unbeliever. So I'm doing it spiritually, but there's a balance in that, because you can't take it to the carnal side and think, well, I got to be doing this all the time and thinking about it, because it's that mind. And I warred with that mind for so many years, you know, because I loved that mind. You know, man loves that mind because it's something that is relative to him. You know, all these natural things that catches the eye of things. And I started thinking about those things. I was thinking about how, I told Brother Rob, I was thinking about how, you know, how a blind man, I've heard him say before how he's not relative to things, you know, by seeing. He's relative by feeling and hearing. So I thought, well, Lord, well, if a person, you know, if I shut these eyes off and I'm talking about, well, how am I really hearing in the spirit and seeing in the spirit? And I started pondering that. And after I got off the phone with Brother Rob last night, I told him this morning, I started thinking about that, about discernment, about kind of maybe having to do with a little bit of feeling in the spirit, you know. I've been really pondering that, folks. I desire with all my heart to be a spirit-led man, you know, and I feel a lot of times that I fall short of that, Brother Henry. I really do. You know, I desire God more and more, like that song says, I want to be close to the Lord, Brother Rob. I want to understand, not to project myself as something that maybe I could help somebody, you know, because I know if I got God's spirit, then I know that I'm where I need to be at. And that's my heart's desire. You know that scripture that we walk by faith and not by sight. And I read that thing that Sister Stephanie put on there about observation and diagnosis. And I know that scripture was in there too. And I had been pondering on that, plus Romans 1:20. And that's a very good, whatever you call that, summary of that sermon, because I had listened to that sermon. But I'm just pondering on these things and ask the Lord to help each and every one of us, Brother John, to give us more discernment and the more of the ability to discern these things and differentiate these worlds, you know, because it can't come by a natural man's mind. He'll never understand it, you know, and it can't come by remembering a message or any of these things. But I know that if God quickens it to us by the Spirit, then we can see these things, you know. And I have more of a desire to crucify my man more, you know, that like Brother Rob said, it don't feel good. It's like, because it's everything going against everything that I've ever, you know, wanted to do. And you've got to keep pushing over it and say, God, help me, you know, because I have more of a desire to please you. I have more of a desire to know that I'm pleasing him than to do what I want to do as a man. And it's a travail every day I have to fight. Every day I have to fight. God, help me. Please give me strength to make it through this day, to fight the good fight of faith, keep my head up, and to maybe testify to somebody and witness to somebody, you know, because I find, Brother Rob, when I'm doing that it brings life to me. You know, you could be down in your spirit, but yet when you see a man like we did yesterday on the job, and Brother Jeff got me a hat for my birthday, and it says I love Jesus on it, and it opened up a door. The Lord reminded me when I seen that man, I seen him looking at me, I thought, why is he looking at me? He said, well, you got a hat on that says I love me. And he started looking. It opened up a door, and I started testifying to him about the Lord. And he said, well, where do you go to church? And I showed him my sweatshirt and where we went to church and what we were doing. And it just opened up a door, and I was testifying the Lord to him. And that just brings so much strength to your inner man, because you can be down in the flesh, but yet this is bringing the Spirit alive. Because if we give life to others, like Brother Rob said so many times, our fruit is for others, not for ourselves. But when we find ourselves giving fruit to other people, then we'll be fed off our own fruit, or the fruit of the Lord Jesus, I should say. I don't have a lot this morning. I don't have anything to say. I just want to say I love each and every one of you. If I've done anything to offend anybody, I'm sorry. You know, in my natural man, I'm very poor in grammar. I really didn't even finish school, you know. I haven't told a lot of people that. I've told Brother Robin a few people. I probably really got probably about a seventh grade education, because I come up here when I was 16, and I'm pretty poor in grammar. And but you know, if I offended anybody, I'm sorry. And I'd like to get Brother Rob back up.
Amen. And, my brother here, five tangible words is 50,000 in unknown tongue. Amen. And that's good, Brother Emmanuel. And I like to see a man express from the things that God's dealing with him in his spirit. I found that when God deals with me by the Spirit, you can be seated again. Thank you. When God deals with me by the Spirit, some of the most phenomenal things that make the biggest changes in my life is in a multitude of words that he gives me. Sometimes it's unveiling one word, maybe two words when it's unveiled by the Spirit. Some of them I share with you. Some I try to share with you. Some are, you know, it just comes to a place when Brother Emmanuel made a statement. He goes, man, I don't feel qualified to even be considered a Christian, let alone a preacher. You see, that's the beginning of revelation right there. Because when you feel qualified and you feel like you're the one, that absolutely does nothing but gets in the way of it all the time. I get behind this sacred desk and I think, Lord, these are your people. You see, if you discern a spirit, it's not you discerning it. You say, I got the gift. What's the gift? It's God. All the gifts are all by one and the same spirit. You're not discerning nothing. It's the Spirit of God discerning it, and he's sharing it with you. Well, I got this gift of healing. You know, man, I could lay hands on sick and they could be healed. So you ain't got nothing. The gift of healing's his gift, and he just allows you. He gives you the gift, yes, you know, to utilize for his glory. When you utilize it for your fame and popularity, he removes the gift. You understand that? And in many times, the rain will still be there. You may not see exactly what you think that you saw or wanted to see or what appeared. You know, it's Brother Emmanuel, some of the things he's talking about is exactly the things that, you know, he's being transparent. He's being open. He's saying, hey, you know, I think I see things and I come to find out I don't see what I think I see. I don't know what I think I know. That's an awesome place to come. Because see, when you think you know, you don't have a draw to know because you already do know. If you think you know something. And I've talked with some of you men that are in the trades and I said, you know, if you're going to go out here in the trades and you're going to take a man and you say, okay, I'm going to take this man and put him to work. If he already knows how to do everything, you can't train him to do what you want done. He already knows it all. And you're talking to him and you could see that he's not listening to you because he already knows everything. You see, that's, again, that's just an allegory of the spirit realm. That's all that is. Now, if I was just going to speak natural to you today, I could ask you contractors to stand to your feet, say, have you ever had that happen? And sometimes you'd rather take a man that has zero experience in a trade and train him to do what you want him to do because then he's going to do it the way you want him to do it. He's working for you and you have a system. It seems like so oftentimes a man comes in and he don't want to get into your system. He said, well, hey, I got a better way. I could do it this way. And it cost him. Many times God blows on it. But what is that an allegory to? It's in the spiritual realm. When Jesus was trying to talk to the spiritual people or the religious people, he had problems. They already knew everything. Man, I'm in the synagogues daily. Man, I understand the things. And this message that Brother Pike was speaking about, you know, Brother Manny mentioned, here I am speaking about, listen, this man of God. You know, it's one thing to listen or to say, I heard another message. And as he would say, I'll put another notch in your belt now. Boy, you got this, run with it. It don't quite work that way. You know, I heard him say that myself so many times sitting in his services. He would say that. But you see, he was speaking of the intellectual conception. And speaking of an intellectual conception and getting this great understanding, and you know, as we go to the scriptures and the word, it says, you can understand all mysteries and have not charity, it profits you nothing. You know, we think, well, man, we're stewards of the mysteries. And man, I got to have these mysteries and thus, and us. So I am something because I have the mysteries. It's an identifier to who I am in the spirit, you might say. But then yet he says, you have all mysteries without charity, it profits you absolutely nothing. You know, and the gifts of God, brethren, when we talk about the gifts, you know, if we wanted to talk about discernment, faith, healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. If we want to talk about these things, are those things a vindication that you're spiritual? When he pours his spirit out upon all flesh and the gifts are without repentance, the Bible says. You know, the Holy Ghost doesn't come without repentance. You cannot receive the Holy Ghost without repentance, but you can receive a gift of prophecy without repentance. You could receive a gift of tongues without repentance. You could receive a gift of faith without repentance, because they come with the rain. Now, you see, now people will question that. But as again, I could take you to the scriptures. I could take you over New Testament doctrine where I prophesied in your name. Do you realize that prophecy is a more desirable gift than tongues? Now, if tongues is the initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, how could prophecy be better than the Holy Ghost? Absolutely couldn't be. And this is why we got things crossed up. The Bible said it's the Jews that require a sign. They're the ones that are seeking after a sign. And he said when they were looking for a sign, he said, I'm afraid of you. Is a sign of somebody speaking in tongues for me as a Christian? Is a sign of somebody speaking in tongues for the unbeliever? And what we've done is we've adapted this into a doctrine in Pentecostal churches about all of them across the board. And if you speak in tongues, you got the Holy Ghost. And this is the reason of the failure of the church today, because it's an uncertain sound. You say, well, I understand that. Do you? I could say, do you really understand that? You see, and you go into teaching on, and people think, well, you're against tongues. Absolutely not. As I could say, I could speak as the Apostle Paul spoke. He said, I could stand here before most of you, and I could probably say, I probably speak in tongues more than most of you do. You know, whoopee-doo, you might say. Well, I'm not speaking about that in such a way of it gives me a better plateau or more prestige or more spiritualism. I'm just saying, yeah, I'm making the same statement the Apostle did for a reason. You know, the significance isn't in the tongue. The significance is a man being filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is power. I tell people, I say, if you want evidence of a spirit filled, if you're just going to look for evidence of a man speaking in tongues, say, man, I know he's got the Holy Ghost, you're going to find yourself walking in a lot of deception and a lot of problems. And you're going to have a lot of heartbreaks and a lot of shipwreck things going on. So there's too many tongue-talking devils in our world, all over this world. So you want evidence of somebody being filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, the thing is, what is being filled with the Holy Ghost? When a man gets born of God, he receives the Spirit of God, the Bible said. Without God's Spirit, you're none of His. So we receive God's Spirit. Now the thing is if we receive the Spirit of the Father, I wrote a writing that went into the prison. It was called an eye and ear exam. And in this article I was writing, I said, you know, if there was a woman having an affair with a black man and an affair with a white man, and she comes up expecting. Well, you're going to know whose child it is when it's born, aren't you? Is that true? Now, the thing is if we are birthing a spirit, if we're going to bring forth the birthing of a spirit, right, born again, then we're going to know who the Father is. So if I've been born of God and filled with the Holy Ghost, then I'm going to bring forth the attributes of God and the Holy Ghost. Now, the thing is if I put some kind of a thing out here and say, well, the initial evidence, which isn't Bible, I do know that everywhere the Holy Ghost was poured out, in many of the cases it says that they spoke in tongues. Why? Because it was the Jews that was having a problem believing that this Holy Ghost was being poured out on the Gentiles. They think these Gentiles are unclean. You know, Peter had the vision up on the housetop of Cornelius, and he has this sheet coming down, and the Lord says, partake. And he says, man, I'm not going to partake of that. I've never had any unclean thing in my mouth. I'm not going to touch that thing. And the Lord said, don't you call unclean what I've cleansed. So, you know, this makes us fat guys. We can eat anything we want. If that's what we get out of that message, we've really missed the Lord, hadn't we? But brethren, here's what I'm saying, is that the tongues were there for the Jews were the unbelievers. If you don't think they were the unbelievers, then why did they crucify God? They crucified our Lord, our God, our Messiah. They crucified Him. So when God would do such a thing and pour His Spirit out, and these men would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, okay, the gift, not just the rain, they received the gift. And when they did, there would be a sign that the Jews could say, wow, how can we reject these men? If you go back over to, how could we forbid these men to be baptized when God has given them the Spirit? Why would we forbid them? We better fulfill the scriptures and the word. And when Paul went and rebuked Peter, it was for the same thing. And it seems so ironic, I might say, to me. It should have been the other way around, because Peter's the one that had the vision. He had the vision at Cornelius' house, and then Paul still got to go rebuke him for turning away from the Gentiles. So the sign, the Jews require a sign. And in the New Testament doctrine said, talking to you, us, if we require a sign, he said, I'm afraid of you. You observe days, times, and seasons, and these things. He said, I'm afraid of you. Why? See, I don't observe times and seasons. The Bible said we're instant in season, out of season. Do you know what that means? In season, out of season. You see, a fruit tree in the natural world only bears fruit in its season, correct? So if I got here in January and I'm out here and I was looking at the apple tree out in the yard there and I say, man, there's no apples. You know what Jesus did when there was none on the tree? He cursed it and it dried up from the root up. They said they'd never seen a tree die that way. It was a reversal thing taking place there. But you see, you're the tree of life. I can show you that in the Bible. Oh, Jesus is tree of life. Well, you come to a revelation. You're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, part of the many-membered body. The tree of life has fruit on it. If the tree has no fruit on it, it's hewed down at the root, cast into the fire, the Bible says. So the thing is I'm instant in season, out of season. What does that mean? It means I got fruit on my tree around the year. If you don't have fruit, like, you know, you meet brother, hey, praise God, brother, hallelujah, man, glory be to Jesus, man, God's good, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, man, I'm having a wonderful day, man, in the Lord, man, God is so good to us. He just won the lottery yesterday, so he's, you know, he's feeling pretty good. We don't play lotteries here, you know. And then the next day you see him, it's like, oh, man, hey, what's up, bro? Man, I don't know, man, I just, you know. See, that man ain't instant in season, out of season. He's got the fruit of the flesh now. The old me syndrome. The old oppression. Come on, we can't have that. We're the children of God. You know, I say sometimes to some of you, say, man, I want to be a soul winner. And you're out here talking to people and they don't see anything in you that they would desire. You know, hey, come to my church and be like me. And you're over there beating a guy up, cursing another guy out, man, and doing this and that. And you're thinking like, what's your church got to offer? Ain't done you no good. Man, we're having a revival meeting. You need to come. Why? If I can be like you? That's scary. You need to have the joy of the Lord in your heart. And this joy of the Lord, the joy of salvation, joy of being a child of God. You need to have gratitude and thankfulness and thanksgiving. You know, not the oh me and oh my's. Those things are contagious. You know, a smile's contagious. You realize that? You can smile at somebody, they're going to smile back. You can frown at them, they'll frown back. Bible said, you know, you want friends, show yourself friendly. Somebody, well, I ain't got no friends. Well, start showing yourself friendly. Are you difficult to be a friend to? Well, you know, I just don't like him because he's not as religious as me. Well, I don't like you because I can't stand your religion. Because your religion shouldn't project self-righteousness, or you're better than somebody. Your religion should be you laying your life down for that individual and as good as you. That's true in undefiled religion. Laying your life down for your brother. Keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Amen. Brother Pike was speaking in this message and he said, your quotes, the allegories, the types and shadows, all those things. He said, none but Startina. He said, it's just the beginning. As Brother Manny's listening to another message, and he says, hey, that's just, and that's what the Bible says, it's just your reasonable service. Man, I really done something for the Lord today. Amen. Praise God for that. I tell you, I came to a place with the Lord that I could give him 7 days a week, 24/7, and I feel like I've done nothing. But the Bible said we commit our works unto the Lord and our thoughts are established. So we do are doing something. We can have established thoughts. So oftentimes we think of, you know, I know the Bible said we store up treasures in heaven. These treasures in heaven when you see people that aren't walking in the blessings in the natural world, it's because they haven't sown things up in the spiritual world if they're children of God. Now, the uncertain sound of that is the people in this world, they sow things into this world, and they put treasures away in this world, and they reap them in this world, but they have nothing for eternity. That's the uncertain sound. And there's the uncertain sounds that go through the religious realms. The prosperity message in the United States of America, they teach prosperity. You know, God wants to bless you, man. He wants you to prosper. He wants your soul to prosper. He wants you to be in health. Well, amen. I preach that message. But you know, if we just solely put that to physical health and physical financial blessings, man, we've missed God altogether. Because he said, the rich answereth haughtily, and the poor receive him gladly. I'd rather be poor and receive my Lord. Amen. Wouldn't you? And we got these different ideas, and what we want to do is we want to bring this, the supernatural or the spiritual blessings of God, and we want to bring them into this manifestation as a man, and that's good. But how do I do that? Do I do it by hoarding and by building bigger homes and faster cars and shinier stuff? And I say, man, I'm taking the treasures of heaven and doing it. Let me tell you when the treasures of heaven come to you. You know why they come to you? To share. And when you quit sharing them, they quit coming. You understand that? The only way you can have heavenly treasures is by sharing them. You see, when God gives you something, it isn't for you, it's for you to give away. And when you give it away, he keeps it coming. And then you'll be partakers of the gift. But when you hoard it to yourself, it'll stop. And you'll find yourself in a despair. Many people are searching for the will of God. Many people are searching for, you know, what they feel. What is God's will for me? You know, I want to be in the will of God. I want to be in the blessings of God. I want to walk in the Spirit of God. It's easy. Now, the Son of Man, when he travailed there, he said, but Lord, nevertheless, let your will be done. What was his will? His will was for him to suffer. His will was for him to be beaten. Now, we had a preacher come to this church. He stood behind his sacred desk. He said, if your church preaches suffering, he said, run from it. I think, what kind of ignorant statement is that? The New Testament is full of teaching us and to equip us and to prepare us to suffer. I don't know any man that wants to suffer. But do you realize a spirit-led man will suffer? Do you realize that? He will suffer. And the Lord will make sure that he suffers. You remember the story that Brother Pike shared about the man preaching the gospel on the steps in the town? A bunch of drunks came by. The story came from back in the, what they call them, circuit riders. The man's preaching in town and these drunks come on their horses and stuff. And they get up and beat the guy, the preacher up. He's up there preaching on the steps in town. They beat him up really severely, really bad. The guy's laying there. Guys get on their horses, laughing, hooping it up and drinking, start to ride off. And he gets up and starts preaching again. They turn around, come back and beat him some more. Beat him bad, bloody. Now here's what Brother Pike said. The Lord suffered that to show Christ in the earth. He said the Lord suffered that and had his way in it. That he could see Christ in the earth, and a man loves God so much that he comes to bring the gospel to them that are rejecting and hating him, and they beat him, and he still showed the love of God getting back up. But he said what God won't suffer is being mocked. And when after they beat the guy and he was laying there on the ground in his blood, and the guy looked at him and he said, preacher, he said, just how far is hell anyway? And the horse raised up and kicked the man in the head and killed him. He said the Lord wouldn't suffer the mocking of God. But the Lord will suffer you to be beaten, abused, ridiculed, hated. He'll do that. And see, we as Christians, we miss the opportunities of those things. The preparation of that heart of that man is from God, and God prepared that man. As I said, God had to have a Judas. He's going to send somebody that ain't going to like you. They're going to hate you. They're going to take advantage of you. They're going to steal from you. They're going to rob you. They're going to spit in your face. They're going to hate you. They're going to lie against you. And all for they could see how you handle it in Christ. You kick back and you fight back with a vengeance, then you're lost. But you answer back in love. And you say, man, I'm sorry. Man was down there. I preached the gospel from over there in Arkansas. And a guy said, I want to talk to you outside. And he gets me outside. I said, you ain't nothing but the devil. He said, you ain't got God. You ain't got God's spirit. You know, you ain't right. You think you're something. I said, pray for me, sir. That's all I'd say. He was trying to provoke me to wrath. You know, that's what he wanted to do, for I could be like him, for he can continue to lie against the truth. He was nothing but filled with lies. Lies. And he kept on accusing me. And I just said, man, pray for me, brother. I love you. And he goes, you don't love me. And that's where I made a mistake. I said, well, sir, I do love you, but I'm having troubles liking you. And I shouldn't have said that. I really do. I regret saying that. Yeah, we could laugh about it a little bit, but that's that. And I wished I would have never even said that. If I would have done what I like to do, he'd probably still have some bruises. But that's the flesh, man. Well, you're a preacher. You should even confess that. I confess it's a continual warfare and it's a struggle every day. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. So yes, I don't have a problem as a minister, a spirit-filled man standing before you. Yeah, I'd have liked to knock him upside the head. But I controlled that thing. I put that man under subjection. And I said, shut your mouth. The guy's ridiculing. There was a day in my life that the guy wouldn't have got 10 words out of his mouth. He wouldn't have ever got that out of his mouth. I said, oh yeah? Well, let's just find out about it. You see, I exercised dominion over the flesh man. You say, cock-a-doodle-doo. Well, maybe I could say that, because I feel, when I'm in those situations, I feel accomplished when I leave and I kept my spirit. And it's the more years that I've learned to do that and trained and exercise that gift, the easier it becomes. Where you don't find that man rising up like you might have. And the thing is again, when the Lord spoke to me about righteous indignation is from God. It's in your spirit. It is the grievance of the Lord God himself. You know, he's angry with the wicked. He pursues them off the face of the earth. Jacob, he loved. Esau, he hated. So some of these righteous indignation could have those expressions in there. But when we take it to the flesh, and then we show it in the flesh and feel justified, when you rebuke somebody sharply and harshly because they crossed you up or because they insulted you and you feel justified, that's your time to be silent. You see, when you're defending, many times I see in these social media blogs, you know, you see that they're not defending the word, they're defending their pride. Well, I'm more spiritual. I know more than you do. I've been about this longer than you. I know more Bible quotes than you. I work in the gifts more than you. I prophesy. I speak in tongues. I cast out devils. And it's all I. Man, that's a stench in the nostrils of God. You see, a man gets behind a sacred desk and he's going to project himself as some great teacher and some great man. Man, that's a stench in the nostrils of God. Anything that's done, it should be done to bring glory to him and him alone. Glory to him, glory to his kingdom, glory to his name. Amen. Now the Bible does say, on the other hand, it says to give honor whose honor's due. You see, I can honor brethren, I can honor ministers because they yielded to the Spirit of God. I honor Manny this morning. He got up and yielded to what God put in his spirit. And he thought, you know what? I'm going to deliver what God put in my spirit and say that. Hey, it might be short, but that's what I've got. Man, praise God. That's rich. That's powerful. Well, I got to hold them for a while. They'll think that I'm just not a real man of God, you know, or they might think this and that. That's where you get in the way. And that's when the Lord quits. And if you learn to work in the measure that whatever got in, then God could use that measure in a mighty way. Two words spoken by the Spirit of God will do more than 30,000 spoken by intellect. It's the Spirit that brings life. The seed of the Spirit is what the life is. And it just takes one out of the multitudes of thousands of seeds in the physical realm to enter into the womb of the woman. Even though there's millions of these seeds, there's only one that's going to bring the life. There may be many words spoken in a message, but there will be one, if you would allow it to, it's going to struggle through that intellectual canal of the carnal mind, through that ear. And it's going to go down through that thing. And if you could let it find its way in there, it's going to bring a life in the spirit that'll blossom and open up. You understand that? You know, we're in a day of abortions. We're in a day of birth control, a day of vasectomies, and these kind of things. And they're all showing a spiritual thing. They're very much showing a thing. There's many ministers that are behind those pulpits in America that have vasectomies. I'm not speaking physically. I'm speaking spiritually. No power of seed there. And there's many women that are sitting in the church where the bride, the woman saved in childbearing, that are sitting there that their womb is barren. They've been taking birth control. They'll never produce or bring forth the child. You understand that? Which means they're not God's elect. You understand that? God's elect lady, the election was for a purpose, brother. Now see, most people take the election of the bride all the way into the third heaven, but their election in the second to bring forth the heir to the throne. And this is where people will fail to differentiate these things, and they'll get stuck in one realm. The beautiful thing about the second heaven is we got both worlds present at the same time. We got a visible and an invisible world present at the same time. And this is why many people take their inheritance on the other side of Jordan, is because they're relative to that realm. They understand that realm and they like that dimension. You know, we get to see and feel both things. We got the flesh and we got the spirit. And they're working in the same plateau there. But if you keep yielding to the flesh, then you become one with it. And your father's the devil. But in that second dimension is where so many things take place. You see, there's a travail and a fight and a struggle there to go into the third dimension. And sad to say, you know, if you hear me speak, it sounds like I'm against the whole church world. I'm not. I'm just saying that most of the church world's lost because it's a little flock, few be there to find it. But most of the churches are demonstrating and fellowshipping and running in the second heaven realm. They're totally, totally blinded and irrelevant and never seen the third heaven. But they found satisfaction in the second. You see, in the second heaven, again, we go to the allegory, they had manna coming down from heaven. Praise God. Man, this is something to rejoice about. They've seen the miracles of a sea parting. God's on the throne. Praise God, boy, he's moving in the affairs of his people. It's all in the second heaven. You can be eating the spiritual manna and then be the one where the ground opens up and swallows you up. Those ones that were eating the spiritual manna complained for meat, and he brought them meat to 4 feet deep. And then become a stench in their nostrils. You see, that none of that has to do with the third heaven, brethren. There is no stench in the nostrils there. There is no darkness there. When the Bible says that you can't mix light and darkness, that's the third heaven. Second heaven's got light and darkness in it. This first heaven has light and darkness. When the sun sets before it's dark, you got twilight time, dawn and evening, twilight. See, we mix light and darkness over here. So what you do is you read the scriptures and you say, well, that has to do with a man. You know, you can't have bitter and sweet water coming out of the same man, you might say. See, you're absolutely right. But it has to do, when we start speaking about the man, there's a man relative to the spirit man, the transfigured flesh. It's no longer relative to the physical man. It's no longer relative to that. So when you start speaking things by the Spirit, there's a lot of people that are playing in it in the second heaven, where the rain from the third heaven's coming into the second heaven. And it's raining down there, and you dance in the rain, and you feel like you're partakers of what's in the third. But what you're supposed to be doing is taking and strengthening from the things raining to you from the third to get the strength to go through the door. Well, see, Jesus is the door, and he opened the door. I agree with that. But where is the door at? The door's in the second to go into the third. Jesus was the mediator between God and man. You see, he was both son of man, both son of God. You understand that? So we look into the allegories. We see that he came in the middle, the mediator, the door. Then it says to no longer know him. She says, no, no man after the flesh. But we're not supposed to know the Lord Jesus on the cross. We know him in the resurrection. You understand that? This is why we don't use crucifixes and have crosses to have the Lord stripped off. That's a terrible thing. If you have a crucifix in your house, God, you know, have mercy on your wretched self. That was a hideous thing for him to be hanging on a cross naked. He was a holy man, always clothed. So they strip him off and treat him like a common criminal, and you're going to put pictures of that in your home? of him hanging on a cross naked? God have mercy on you, bunch of wretched beast Catholics. You need to get born again. And if you call yourself a Christian and call yourself born again, and you got a crucifix, God have mercy on you. A guy tried to give me one for Christmas a few years back. You don't want to offend people. You know, Brother Rob, I said, no, brother, I can't take this. You keep this thing. It was one of them little crystal glass things about this big, and a light shines up into it, and it's engraved by laser on the inside. Brings me a crucifixion of Christ. I said, man, I can't accept this. A crucifix. And you say, but we do all things in remembrance. I say, yea and amen. I remember the beating and the blood that he shed for my sin and gave it up. But I know him in the resurrection. Amen. He's clothed and covered. You go and read every place somebody's unveiled in the Bible, you're going to see sin there. Now listen to me, you're going to see failure there, falling away. Jesus came with no sin, but he came and took your sin on. And when they stripped him off like that and put him on that cross, that was the most shameful thing that could have ever happened to him. Most hideous thing, being treated like a common criminal. I'll use this again. I've used this as an allegory, and I'll just give you an idea. You think, well, you know, this is what he done, so I feel like I have the right to display it because that's what Jesus done for me. Well, if a woman was raped by a man that kicks the door down while husband's at work, and a man kicks the door down, a thief and a robber, and busts the door down in your home, and you got security cameras in there, and the man kicks the doors down and comes in and ties your wife to the bed and strips her off and rapes her, and she brings forth a child, you know, and the wife comes, finds out she's expecting out of this brutal situation. So then she raises the kid and loves him and mothers him. The father takes care of him and loves him as his own. It's not the child's fault that he was conceived that way. So then what you do, you know, when the son's about 12 years old, you got all the pictures of mother out on the living room walls of her being raped. You took them off of the video cams and off the things, and you put the pictures all over your walls. Oh, here's how you were conceived, son. This beast right here was raping me. Oh, look at mother stripped off and the bruises on her. Look at the nose bleeding, the eyes bleeding. Look at all the things here, but this is how you got here. Would you do that? There's not a chance that child would ever see those pictures of the brutality of what took place to his mother. And the thing is, I'm just using that as an example of the same thing. If it was such a terrible violation to our Lord and God to be stripped off and put out openly like that, and then we're going to put it on our walls? Come on, saints. I trust that somebody's listening that needs to go into their rooms and take their crucifixes and put them in the garbage can. Amen. Don't always know why the Lord would lead you down some of the trails that he would lead you. But there's so many things, brethren, in religion that we've accepted in our, I'll call it ideologies and theologies, that we've accepted and think, well, this is it. Just because the popular do it, just because they're involved in these things. Sometimes, you know, pastors and churches, they get, well, man, this is really working over at that church, man. They're really bringing the people in by doing this and doing that. It doesn't mean that's what we do. What draw them in? You see, we need to see people drawn by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God. You know, we want to offer people something that desire to come here, yes. But we don't want that thing to be the reason they're here. We want them to be here because they're drawn by the Spirit of God. And you say, well, how does God draw them by the Spirit? By using his many-membered body, every joint of it. They're going to see something in you that's different. They're going to see you on a job, and you're not the greedy dog out there. And you're not just looking to, you know, for what's only advantageous for you. You see, when you look for what's best for your customer and what's beneficial for them and what's advantageous to them and make sure they're always getting the better of the deal, then God is going to bless your substance. He's going to bless your finances. He's going to bless your homes. He's going to bless everything with you that you have. If you've got a home, you're not utilizing it for God, shame on you. If you got a business, you're not utilizing it for God, shame on you. If you got an automobile and you're not utilizing it for God, shame on you. Some of you got a spare bedroom, you'd never consider putting somebody up in it because you're a selfish, greedy dog. and you want to call yourself a Christian. You never consider feeding somebody else. It's always, what can I get? You're selfish. It's just a fruit of your flesh, and you'll perish. But we love you, and we're going to try to keep showing you by example and showing you by example, showing you by example. Amen? Well, I can't do this. I can't, you know, I'm not asking a young man and a young woman who have a spare bedroom to bring some man in there and leave him there while you go to work and your wife's at home. You'll find yourself being reproved. But there's a way. Pete was a single man down there at Bethlehem, and there was probably wasn't hardly a time in his home that he didn't have somebody living with him that had come through needing help and looking for a place. Oh, they were a vexation to Pete many times. But who said winning souls isn't a vexation? Well, I don't like this guy. I work with a lot of things I don't like. It's not about me and what I desire and what I want and what feels good to me. It's about the kingdom. Go talk to your wives or talk to your mothers or talk to your aunts or talk to some that brought a child. Oh, man, it felt good, man. Boy, that's really something when they said to push, man. Boy, it felt wonderful. Yeah, that's a lie. It hurt. There's no woman that likes the travail to bring forth that child, but when they get the fruit of the womb, when they get that child, all that pain just melts away. It's all forgotten about. But I'll tell you what, while you're doing it, ain't no fun. And sometimes, you know, in the travails of trying to win a soul, you might be getting stole from. You might be getting lied against. You might be getting cheated. But praise God when one gets converted. Amen. Well, you know, last time I tried that, man, they took advantage of me. They ripped me off, man. Last time I done that, well, praise God for that. Man, you got something stored away in heaven. If something steals something for you and you're doing it for the Lord, God will add it back to you tenfold, hundredfold, I should say. He'll add it back. You don't see the increase of God because you've never sacrificed anything except for your selfish, lustful, fleshly ambitions. And it's all about you and your world and about your little home, about your little business, and about your little family, about your little wife. Sad. You say, well, Brother Rob, come on, man. You know, we should love our families and our homes. Yeah, you know, your substance should be precious in your sight. But if it takes you away from following the Lord, man, it's a curse. Your home to become a curse. The thing that you desire to become a curse. And God will burn your fields. Brethren, you come to a revelation. If he wants you to give your life as a living sacrifice, he wants you to give your life as a living sacrifice, how about your home? How about your car? How about your children? How about your family? How about your wives? How about your husbands? You need to learn to lay them all down to the Lord. He's not going to take advantage of you. You know, people are afraid to trust God. This is Brother Manuel's fault. I gave the sacred desk over to him. Some of you are afraid to really yield to the Lord because you're afraid what he's going to do with you. Some of your ministries may not really be all spiritual led like you think it is. You just do what you want that brings glamour and fame and popularity maybe to you. That's no ministry. The ministry of Christ is suffering. I'm telling you, the ministry of Jesus Christ is suffering. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So we talk about God was, when he was here, he suffered. The God that is suffers. He said they hated me first, they'll hate you also. They'll speak all manner of evil against you. If your ministry brings fame and popularity, everybody loves you, there's something wrong. You say, well, the religious love me, but the world don't love me. It's usually the opposite. That's the way it was when Jesus was here. The religious didn't like him. They're the ones that took him. They would have put him to death without the Roman Empire's counsel. But they knew that they would be in problems. So they took him before them and lied. And said, this man's a troublemaker. This man is causing all this chaos and riots and all these things. Y'all kill him. He said, I can't find no fault with him. But we have this ritual or whatever. And we're going to give you one today. Choose Barabbas or Jesus. You know, we read that as a historical story. But if I ask you to stand to your feet that's chosen Barabbas, if you didn't stand to your feet, I'd say you're blind, you're deceived, and you're a liar. Because every one of us has chosen Barabbas, thus saith the Lord. And if you didn't see that, it's because you're blind. And that's the beginning, like the young man that comes up and says, man, I found I'm not even worthy. You say, man, how would you like to have been that guy that drove the nails in the Lord Jesus' hands there? on the cross, and you say, man, what a terrible person. The revelation is for you to come to, or you were the one that drove the nails in his hands. Come on, saints of God. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. All flesh is the same. And every single one of you, when you come to the revelation that you drove the nails in his hands, then you can find genuine repentance and find the love. Then you can feel worthy because it's his love. That's how much he loved you while you were driving the nails. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. You say, how would I drive the nails in the Lord's hand? He said he's crucified afresh and you trample the blood under feet daily. Peter himself got the keys to the kingdom. And the Lord turned to him and said, get you behind me, Satan. Why? Because he had a hammer in his hand with a nail. Are you with me, saints? And he say the same thing to you. When you savor the things that be of the flesh, the carnal mind is enmity with God. And every time you get in your carnal mind and it's about you and about your wife and your family and your house and your things, the Bible says that we seek the kingdom of God first. And then what we're doing while we're seeking the kingdom, we'll find the homes and all these things being added to us because we're seeking him first. But when you're seeking those things first, well, I got enough time. Maybe I'll do something for God today. Now I got a little bit of time. I'll do this. You see, you've just crucified him afresh. See, you don't see things that way. That doesn't bear witness with you. I'm sorry. But you're not sensitive in the spirit of how sensitive the things are in the spiritual realm. You see, when Judas complained about the oil to wash the feet of the Lord for burial, you see, it was a fleshly, selfish thing, wasn't it? How many of us have been there? We've all been there, brethren. You see, the problem is, you haven't really crucified yourself. When the Bible says you take up your cross daily and the preacher talks like this and you have a problem, I've never crucified the Lord. Man, I've never drove the nails in his hands. I've never done this. It's because you've never died. And if you realize that you were birthed and shapen in iniquity and born into sin, then you would realize that you're the enemy of God. And you'd quit falling in love with yourself and you'd start denying yourself and mortifying and killing yourself out and letting Jesus live. And when Jesus lives, he is going to bring life to people. Amen. That's what they need. That's the tree of life. The tree of life has fruit on it. And it's planted with a deep taproot there by the river. Amen. And you got to realize that you are the fruit tree of the Lord. And fruit trees are for one purpose only. You ever see a fruit tree take a branch out and reach over and pull fruit off of it and eat it? I know what goes to the ground will rot and go back in and nourish the plant. Yes, we find nourishment, brethren, from the Lord too. But we have fruit on our tree and it's not for us. It's for others to come along and pick from. And if your fruit tree is barren, it'll be laid an axe to it and be hewn down. It's all about what we do for the Lord. That's the only thing that matters. What you've done today, what you've done yesterday, whatever you've done, doesn't matter unless it's all done as unto the Lord. Brother Manuel made a statement up here. He said, the things that we do if we're out working and laboring, the Bible said work or labor that we have to give. See, it brings a spiritual significance into it. You say everything has to do with God. Yes, seek him first. Everything has to do with the church. Yes. Because that is your connection to the spiritual realm. And if you shun the church and you shun the ministry of God and you shun the brotherhood, you're dead. Because the Bible said you know that you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. And when you have more of a love for your business and yourself and your family than you do the brethren, then you don't have the love of God. And you say, well, I've got to take care of my family. You'll lose it. If your wife presses you and don't allow you to do the things of God, you'll lose her. Thus saith the Lord. She's going to die. She's going to die of cancer. She's going to die of heart failure. She's going to die from something, or some other man's going to come and take her away from you. Thus saith the Lord. Don't ever be so sissified, my brother, to allow a woman to put a death sentence on herself by robbing you from doing something for God. Amen. When your wife allows you to do something that's unto the Lord, it shouldn't be even spoke that way. You do it because you follow the Lord. and she should be in willing and giving it. But I'm telling you, when you take the time out for the wife instead of for the Lord, he's going to make it miserable. You'll just be with a nagger. You should be on the corner of the rooftop. God hardened her heart and made her that way. He made her a nagger. You say, come on, Brother Rob. I just know the Lord, how he works. You say, you have one of them naggers at your house? I say, I just submit to everything she wants. Yeah, we still tell jokes. Amen. Have mercy. On the other side of that thought, a man needs to lay his life down for his wife. Yes, he needs to spend time with her, quality time with her, and needs to do those things. I had a man staying over there in my basement. I hate to say this, but many of you will know he is. But he'd lay over there on his hind end all week and do nothing to offer any assist. I'd be down in my print shop working. Brethren be out here working, never had done. But every time Saturday would come around, the brethren do something, I'd see him roll out and he'd be going. I'd say, where are you going? I'm going to go see my dad. That man right there will burn in hell, thus saith the Lord, unless he repents and gets born again. He rejected the kingdom of God and the vision of a brotherhood to seek after his own and run after his own family. He cursed his own father and put his father in hell for doing that. You see, you don't understand those things. I do understand them. The Bible said if you give your life as a living sacrifice, it's just your reasonable service. And we got these quotes in our little brains and saying that says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom. How many people really truly can stand here and say that they really seek the kingdom first? Most of the time we're seeking after ourselves, our own kingdom first. I'm guilty, brethren. Maybe I have no business being up here as a preacher. But see, that's the revelation when you find out you're guilty, for you could repent and stand before the Lord. But most of the time it's we're going to get our things worked out. Well, you know, my church doors are open, I'm going to be there. Well, good for you. That's good. There's a lot of people that are in the doors every time the church doors are open that aren't present there. They're not there. Their heart's somewhere else. Their mind's somewhere else. Their thoughts are somewhere else. They're not present with the Lord. And there's people that are absent that are there with you. The Apostle Paul made that statement. He said, I'm there with you in spirit. He was more present than some of them that was there physically. You see, when you start getting into the spiritual dimension, brethren, it is so precise. And when you get in the spirit realm, it's light. And the darkness is eradicated. So speaking in what we're speaking about, we're speaking in the second, standing before the door. Standing on the other side of the Jordan. And these are things that you'll struggle with on this side of Jordan. And you've got to conquer those things to go across the Jordan. You might have all the quotes about get you across, and you might have a lot of quotes about what it looks like on the other side and about the praise and the glory and the honor and the eternity and the no pain and no sorrows and no tears and no sicknesses and all those things. But brethren, we have to not quit looking at it as a prophetic place that we're going to make it to one day. We've got to come to a revelation and be standing there in the Spirit on the Lord's day. When's the Lord's day? When is the Lord's day, saints? It's the one eternal day of the Lord. There's no shadows. There's no time. The angel stood with one foot on land and the sea, and he said, time is no more. Is that prophetic? Or is that past tense? It was there at the cross of Calvary. Raised up both hands towards heaven. Declared no more time. You see, we're in the Spirit. There is no time. You understand that? A day of the Lord is 1,000 years. That's a significant statement to talk to a man. You know, hey, 1,000 years to you, no man has ever been here. But that's just a day of the Lord. But is there a day of the Lord? The one eternal day. There's no night. There's no darkness. There's no sunset. There's no twilight. There's no bitterness. You understand that? There's no darkness. That's in the third heaven. But we're relative to the second. We're really relative to the first. But we find ourselves being caught up in the second. And we need to be caught up to the throne. The second's the fight and the travail. The second heaven is where we got the armor of warfare. The sword of the Spirit. You see, I'm not going to have a sword of the Spirit when I'm in the third heaven. What do I need a sword for? I'm not going to have a breastplate, a helmet. You see, I'm in the place of rest. What would I need the weapons of war for in the third heaven? The things that were a violation to the third have been cast out into the earth and they climb back up into the second. So the warfare and the travails in the second heaven. That's where the woman was in travail to bring forth the child and the red dragon was there to devour. He said, I show you a mystery that the red dragon, that he saw this woman in heaven. He said, I saw the woman in heaven travail to bring forth a child. As soon as the child was born, it was caught up to the throne. But the Bible said that there's no marriage or given in marriage in heaven. So what's the woman doing there in travail to bring forth a child? Was this woman out of wedlock? Absolutely not. Bringing the heir to the throne, you know she wasn't a whore. She was without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. That's why it's the second heaven. You understand that? There's no marriage or given to marriage in the third heaven. Some people have really disputed this when we talk about the bride being in the third heaven. It's not there. The woman is saved in childbearing and to bring forth the child, to bring the child into the heir to the throne, into the third heaven. It's a progression. But most of the church is stuck in the second heaven. Everything they speak and everything they talk about is second heaven. When you talk about the third heaven in a church, they'll crucify you. Same thing they did to Jesus. You're just a mere man making yourself to be God. And they wanted to take up stones and stone him. That's what they did, right? So I stand before you and say, I'm a God. You say, man, you're a cult. Man, everybody run from that. Was I speaking as a man when I said that? Or was I speaking as a new creature in Christ? Paul said, I'd like to speak to you as unto spirituals. So I speak about, oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body? Is that speaking spiritual? It could be, but that's not what he wanted to speak. He said, I would like to talk about the completed work of Christ and who we are in him. I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of King. Sin's done away with. If he didn't finish it at Calvary, then when's it going to get done? He'd done away with sin at Calvary. It's finished. You know why? Because sin is the sting of death. And if he didn't do away with sin, then death isn't abolished or conquered. But he said the last enemy of God to be conquered was death. And when he said it's finished, what was finished? Death was abolished. It happened at Calvary. You know, Sister Marilyn here could say, well, you know, I just put my husband to rest. Exactly what you've done. He's asleep. Ain't death. He can't die. We pass from death unto life. We can't die. We go to sleep. If the Lord tarries, we go to sleep. The Bible talks about going to sleep with the forefathers that went before us. You see, you should never talk death if you're a born again child of God. That violates the word of God in the scriptures. You go to a church, the preacher says, well, you're a sinner and sin every day. You need to tell him he needs to get born again. I had a preacher dispute this with me not long back. He said, man, I'm a sinner and I sin every day. And I said, well, you're of the devil. He got mad at me. Preachers don't like you to tell them they're of the devil. But I said, well, let's go to the Bible and the Word. The Bible said, ye that are sinner of your father, the devil. Well, I had the right to say that, didn't I? He told me he's a sinner, so I need to tell him what the Word says. Well, you're of your father, the devil. If I got any sinners here, we're going to open up the altars. You come in and repent of your sins and you'd get born again. I was born and shapen in iniquity. I was born into sin, but I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a new creature in Christ. He done took my sin away, put it as far as the east is from the west. We sing about it, but we don't believe it. So I'm born of God. I have a natural father sitting back here. I got a spiritual father that's invisible that no man has seen. And he came and made himself visible and walked among men. And then he said, who do men say that I am? He was the Father. That's what Jesus said. I and the Father are one. Father's within me and I'm within the Father. Amen? So I have a spiritual Father, a heavenly Father, with the Spirit of Christ, Abba Father. Amen? So we rend the veil. By being birthed after this man sitting in the back, I was shapen in iniquity with appointment to death, damnation, destruction. Go back to the dust. But I'm born of another Father, and its Spirit, it's eternal. It's living forever. It can't die. It's passed from death unto life. Which one you want to talk about? I like to talk about the spiritual Father. And I love my natural Father, don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying, I would rather talk about my spiritual Father because he brings life and life more abundantly. Amen? So what happens is we're natural and we see natural, we talk natural, and we want to take all the spiritual things and apply it to this little natural world. And that's okay. That's how we can get people to see. That's what Jesus did. We say the Father robed himself within the flesh that the people of the natural world could see the invisible world. So this is what we do. So whatever we're doing needs to glorify him. If it's not glorifying him, it's glorifying you. So who's your master? Everything I do should magnify the kingdom, point towards the kingdom, glorify the kingdom and his will. Amen? We're all in the same struggle here, brethren. We're all in the same fight. We're all in the same travail. You say, well, Brother Rob, you teach us that you live in the third heaven. I say, yes, exactly right. And I was leaping for joy before the world ever was there. But I condescended to men of a less estate. That's what the Bible says. Where did I condescend to? Down to the second heaven, for I could be a mediator between God and men. You say, well, Jesus is the only mediator. You're coming to the revelation. Where's Jesus at today? He's in the many-membered body. You see, that's what the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. You see, the Holy Spirit, the Bible talks about Holy Spirit. The Bible says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, these three are one. Well, the Holy Spirit is the Father, invisible, no man has seen. The Holy Spirit came into the Son and robed himself in flesh, personification. And when he personified himself in the earthly man, both Son of Man, both Son of God, both Lord, both Christ, made himself twain. Then when the Spirit of the Father had robed himself in the flesh of a man that didn't come through the corrupt bloodline of man, it was through the virgin birth. But even though it came that way to us, when that Spirit was there and it came back out of that body, the identity changed. It come ghost. Because it had been personified. Now it was the ghost of who? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, what spirit was the ghost? It's the Spirit of the Father. Because then when Jesus said, the same Spirit that dwells in me shall dwell in your mortal body. So the same Spirit that was in him now dwells in me. We say the Holy Ghost. Why don't we say the Holy Spirit? You can. Some people interchange it. But to be correct, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost because that Spirit came and robed itself in the flesh and went to the cross of Calvary for you and I and was beaten and crucified. And that was the accepted sacrifice that God accepted. He wasn't pleased with the blood of bulls and goats. He was accepted with that sacrifice. So after that sacrifice took place, you understand, of our Lord and Savior, then the Spirit had to go back. It left that body. And when the Spirit of God pulled away from that body, the human spirit man screamed out, my God, he never felt that. Was like had to do with the Shekinah glory of God when it come off Adam. You see, when he found himself naked there, when Adam found himself naked, when the Shekinah glory departed, he found himself naked. But when the Lord Jesus, when that Spirit pulled back away from for the full wrath of death and God could come upon him for your sin. And when that Spirit pulled back, he found himself there naked on the cross. And he screamed out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had to turn his back on him for the full wrath and the judgment that's deserved to you came upon him for you and I. Give the Lord a hand. Amen, saints of God. So then the Holy Ghost went out. He suffered not the Holy One to see corruption and brought him forth in the resurrection. You understand that? And the Spirit, the eternal Spirit, dwells there. Amen. And then we, as the body of God, the Spirit has to be in us or we're dead. Without the Spirit, it's dead. So without His Spirit, we're none of His. That's why the Bible says that. So we receive the infilling of the Spirit of life, the Holy Ghost. We receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now your Baptists and many of the Pentecostals will teach it. Oh, you said this sinner's prayer after Billy Graham. Yes, Jesus in your heart, you're born again, but you need to receive the Holy Ghost. But think about it, saints. Can you be born of God without the Holy Ghost? Come on, saints. It's God's Spirit. Without His Spirit, you're none of His. You cannot be birthed without His Spirit. Well, you sound like UPC, Brother Rom. You know, the UPC says that you have to speak in tongues to be saved. And some of the other Pentecostals argue with that, saying, oh, no, you could be saved but not have the Holy Ghost. The UPC said you got to speak in tongues to be saved. So I was talking to a Trinitarian man that teaching that the initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost is tongues. And I said, well, you're teaching the same thing there. And he said, don't you tell me that. And I said, I'm telling you that, brother. This guy, if anybody ever hated UPC people, this Pentecostal preacher did. He had all kinds of problems other than that. And I told him, I said, well, you're teaching the exact same thing. I said, you're teaching people that they got to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost, and they're teaching that you got to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. I said, you're both teaching the same thing. So what am I going to teach? What the Bible says, without his spirit, you're none of his. What is his spirit? It's the Holy Ghost. There is no other spirit. One God, one faith, one spirit. One baptism. Come on now. There's just one God. Well, Satan's the God of this world. You say just one. There's only one God. And it's my Lord and God, Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, you teach things different than what I've heard. Good. Amen. Because let me tell you something. Because the lack of understanding, people are perishing. That's what when the Lord Jesus, when they wanted to stone him. For what good works have I done that you want to take up stones and stone me? He said, it's not for the good works that you've done. Right, go ahead and keep on opening up blinded eyes and healing our sick children and stuff. But he said, we're taking up stones because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. So Jesus replied to that. He said, but isn't it also written that you are God's? That's what he said. Jesus said that to him. He's the spirit of truth. Is that correct? Now you believe him to be the spirit of truth. So did he lie right there? We know better than that. So he said, but isn't it also written that you're God's? We go over into the Old Testament, and it speaks about men die because of lack of knowledge. You know what they need to do is come to a revelation that they know that they're a God. Gods are eternal. Men are temporal. Gods are eternal. This is why hell wasn't made for man. You understand that? It was made for those eternal spirits that are looking for a place of inhabitation. And they'll be put into this eternal place where the worm dieth not. But see, when man fails to become one with the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes one with those fallen spirits. And then their destiny is damnation and hell. It wasn't their destiny, but they made themselves one with the destiny of Satan. And see, the thing is the third heaven wasn't created for man either. It was for these eternal spirits. But we got to become one with it, and that's why we're predestined in Christ. That's your only way in. You ain't going to get in no other way. Now, if you climb up another way, you're without the wedding garment on, and the Bible said you'll be cast out. What is the wedding garment? What is this garment? What are we robed in? What is this garment? You know, you talk about the Shekinah glory covering. We talk about the Shekinah glory now within. So what is this robe that it's speaking about? And a man find himself without it. You see, in the church world, you say, does it have to do with holiness? Well, sure it does. That's just an allegory to it. You see, the Bible said, present your body, your soul, and your spirit. When they'll teach you in the churches, they'll take you over, Brother Glenn, in the church and say, oh, holiness is just an inward work of the heart. Somebody needs to take that preacher and paddle him. If it's just an invisible work in the spirit, then what good is it? If it's just some invisible work of the heart, what good is it? It ain't worth nothing to nobody. You see, the invisible God couldn't do anything for man, and they were building gods and birds and all kinds of stuff to worship. So he found it necessary to bring the invisible Holy Spirit and manifest it and robe it in the flesh that he could bring the attributes and understanding of the invisible God. So now why would he give you his spirit? For you could live like the dog and the devil and live in the world and dress like the world and act like the world? No, it's that inward glory of the Lord, that praise and honor and virtue and righteousness and holiness. Amen. And the adorning within is going to come forth into the outer garment, or you ain't got nothing. You got nothing unless it's coming out. You are nothing. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. When you got filth and defilement and trash all the time, that means you got a bad heart. So if you got righteousness and virtue and things and beauty and love and kindness coming out, then there's something good in there. Amen? So don't talk about the hidden things of the heart that way. They're going to come forth and be made known and be made manifest. Amen? So don't let your heart be continually evil and wicked and sit there in your religious mind and think, well, you know, because when you think that holiness isn't a part of the move of God, he is the spirit of holiness. He is a holy God. And he sent the Holy Ghost. He didn't send the perverted ghost. He didn't send the fleshly ghost, the dirty ghost. He didn't send the soiled ghost. He sent the Holy Ghost. He is holy. He'll always be holy. Well, I don't think it has nothing to do with the way you look. Well, I'll agree with you in this aspect, because you could dress like and look right and be a whitewashed sepulcher, and you could perish and go to hell. But the thing is, you know what you're considered when that happens? You're considered to be a wolf with sheep clothes on. At least you were clothed, right? At least you had some sheep clothes on. Come on now. But you don't want just the clothing of the sheep. Amen. We want to be the sacrificial lamb. Amen. Despised and hated and ridiculed in this world. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Now let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Amen. I thought you was never going to get done. I thought I was never going to get started. Amen. Praise the Lord is right. Amen. I'm thankful to be a child of God. Amen. I'm truly thankful today. I'm truly thankful that God's granted His life and spirit to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our Lord is good. You glad you came to the house of God today? Said it'd been better if you would have stopped with Brother Emmanuel's message. Yeah, it might have been. Amen. Got some printing done, and we had the printing done. We got a lot of the post-press stuff done. Got quite a bit accomplished in the shop in the last few days there. So the sisters will have some books and different things start collating next week. It's going to be probably the easiest process that we've ever done in that post-press department. Brother Chuck made some things real easy in the way the book is folded. And then the print press guys, you know, the sisters spent a lot of time looking for some bad ink and the old stuff and casting a lot of stuff out and everything. But this here has to do with perfection. Amen. I mean, they've done a wonderful job. I mean, they're just... what they gave us, there's probably literally to no stuff to be called. I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure they called some of the stuff from the early thing, but I mean, it's first-class work. I've got all the covers cut already, and I got a few thousand folded, and I got all the wrap sheets cut, and I got a few thousand of them folded. And then I've got the Doctrine of Baptism. I've got about 1,500 of them cut and folded. So that'll give a start for the ladies to get those collated and stapled. And we'll take them back in and cut them. We're out of them. And there have been several prisoners requesting them because they're working with people in that aspect. So it's going to be good to. And I appreciate the brethren going out and laboring on the church job. And it helps to cover the expenses of these kind of things, and I thank you for the labors and what you've done. According to Brother Andy, I spoke with him briefly from just a moment. He said had a good turnout. I hope you don't allow the devil to rob you, where you can get out and help the brethren on these kind of things and do that. And Brother Pike, brethren at Little Bethlehem, had church jobs going 6 days a week. 6 days a week. Some of you have troubles making it out on one every couple weeks or whatever you do. Sometimes I know you guys got them going every weekend, you know. And if you're not on a church job, don't mean that you've lost God or backslid or whatever, but it depends on what you're doing with your time. If you got another vision, doing something that's under the Lord, you know, it gives you an opportunity to honor God. It gives you an opportunity to do something for the Lord and be part of a brotherhood. You know, so you ought to learn to utilize it and take advantage of it. But some are too spiritual for that, Brother Andy and Brother Randy. They don't have no need of that. Amen. And I'm not speaking to you, Brother John. I know you was out singing yesterday and things. He goes, man, Brother Rob wearing me out here, man. I'm not wearing him out. Amen. You see, is doing something is under the Lord. Get out there and sing and bring the word of God to people. I'm all for it. Amen. And you say, well, I'll go and help him then. Well, maybe you should have. You say, well, you mean I could have got the blessing of God going and helping Brother John, not going on a church job? Sure. Sure you could. And I mean that with all my heart. So if you got one guy out there next time, he's got 16 guys on the church job, we'll have a different change of heart on this. But if you're out there doing something that's under the Lord to help him, because of you don't want to do the other thing that would be required, maybe a little bit of labor on your part, you got no reward anyway. Amen. But, you know, there's a mind of Christ in all things, brother. And I want to be in that mind. I want to follow the leading of the Spirit of the Lord. You know, and the thing is that it might be the will for Brother Emmanuel to be out there on the church shaman. It might be the will for Brother John to be over here doing something, helping the pastor that day. And the guy on the church job's going to think, man, that sorry backslid Whitlow, man, the sucker ain't ever around. You know, see, man, we got to allow those things, brethren, for the Lord to move. And I know when I said Bethlehem, people, whatever Brother Pike put them over and said, here, I want you to do this or that, whatever he put them over always was the, you know, that was the move of God. Nothing else was the move of God. It's just, you know, and that's okay for a man to think that way, and he should think that way, honestly. But we need to be careful. Your vision isn't the only vision in the house of God. There's many things that are taking place. Amen. Let's win some souls to the Lord. Let's sing a song or two this morning, brethren. And
I've been born again,
freed from sin,
night and day.
There's no doubt.
Cause there is no doubt, I know that I've been born.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Well, I've been born again,
freed from sin.
I'm happy night and day.
Y'all love the Lord. Let's just worship Him a minute before we're dismissed. Let's just praise Him. Amen. He's our Lord and our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Have you been born again? Have you been freed from sin? Thank you, Lord. Brother Larry asked me a question about how do we build the breach back up in a wall? How do we build this thing back up? Well, the Bible said we commit our works unto the Lord and our thoughts are established. And established thoughts have mortar in them that set the bricks back in the wall. Amen. Builds it up strong. Amen.
That's why I shout, for I know that I've been born.
We need to get God's attention, saints of God. We need to be moving by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and doing spiritual things to grab His attention that He could see and look in our direction. Amen. He looked in your direction before the world ever was and found you favorable by being His elect child. But the Bible said, make your calling and election sure. So we commit our works unto the Lord. Amen.
I'm freed from sin.
Have you been freed from sin this morning? Thank you, Lord.
There's no doubt. That's why I shout.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to mention a couple prayer requests I want you to take with you and continue to petition the throne of God in these things. And they've sent a letter off to a gentleman that's supposed to help, and he's got some pull with the parole and pardons board and stuff, and a letter from CTMA here. Just be in prayer about this. We're hoping to get some help with many inmates. And right now we have a legitimate complaint to the parole and pardons board for denying a man something they promised him if he would do certain activities and certain things, and they denied him after he'd done his part. That would be like me saying, John, if you mow my yard today, man, I need it done, I'll give you $100 and you get done, and I don't give it to you, I'm in violation. And these people have failed, and that's what I'm going to petition. It's a very touchy subject. You know, you're going to a man in one breath asking for help and relief and then offering a correction or maybe a reproof at the same time. But it needs to be done in that way. So be in prayer about that. And Brother Melvin's, you know, we all know he's been banged up a little bit. And it's all good. It's all good for Brother Melvin. You know, we rejoice in the Lord in his affliction, amen, because God delivers us from them all, amen. He could have been killed, but God has His way in all things. But remember him, his time is now. Brother Joseph, Sister Marilyn's re-changing up some addresses and things now. He could be released any time. And Joseph's going to need your brother to help him. Stand with him in prayer and believe for him. He needs help. He needs someone to take him by the hand. Amen. And help him and work him. Some of you brethren need to be taking work. Some of you have got another man that's maybe going to be here today. He says he wants help from the Lord. He wants to get his life in order with God. He was going to try to be here this morning for service, and different things have taken place, but he says he's going to possibly be here this afternoon. So some of you brethren need to be considering. I'm going to be calling on somebody to ask him to take him on the workplace tomorrow. You say, well, does he need to work and make money? Well, that's just the lighter part of it. He needs to see the love of God and the authority and the power of Christ in the earth and see that there is a brotherhood that is serving the Lord and walking in the counsel of God. That's what it's all about. Amen. Mm-hmm. And some of you guys might be praying about helping with him, giving him a place to stay. I've got one bedroom left in my house right now. You know, I'm not complaining. I'm thinking about building on some more. I'm going to rip that printing department out of there and start making some rooms down there. Amen. And you say, you're kidding, right? Absolutely not. I'll get you over here and help me build another building out here to put the printing stuff in. And I'll get my house bigger so I can help some people out. Otherwise, that house is nothing but judgment of God against me. If I can't use that thing for the glory of God, God will use it when I stand before him as a judgment. You big selfish rascal. You know, you're selfish. You got a home and there's people that are homeless and you wouldn't consider opening up your home. Amen. So you could take the correction and open up your home and your children are defiled and your wives are defiled and this and that. Well, I was just following the leading of the Lord. No. That's why we have to discern exactly what's being said. Amen. Brother George rebuked the contractors because they were big eye and made the brethren, and they're out there making this money and thus us and us. So Richard said, well, you know what, man, I heard what the pastor said. And he started saying he just split all of his jobs with the guys working for him. He split them, and he got rebuked for doing that. See, he thought he heard, but he didn't hear what he needed to hear. He said, well, I don't quite understand that. I do. I understand why I went to the widow's house and repaired her car for nothing, and I got rebuked for it. And I could have answered back with the word of God to my pastor, wait a minute, true and undefiled religion is such. But he reminded me there's timing in the Lord. I left my post of duty in the Lord to go do that as I was doing it as unto the Lord also. But you see, there's a timing that sometimes we've got to be in the doing the things of God in a timely perspective. So there's time to make his things preeminent, make his things first, and do his things, and then find time to do your things. Now you got God's attention. But when you do your things, and then you're going to find time to do something for God, you got no reward, zero, none. I'm here to tell you that. I told a man that, and he left the church. I told him, I said, brother, you've been sharing thousands of dollars with work, but you got nothing stored up in heaven. I owed that to him. I was more concerned for his soul than I was for his money. And he goes, you mean to tell me that I don't have no reward in heaven? I said, absolutely not. I said, God's just blessing you on this side. You know, you give money to the house of God, there's a reward for it on this side. And he was getting more homes and more houses and more substance and more money and more finances. Well, that's the way he lived anyway. He savored everything by the flesh of what he's seen. So God rewarded him to everything he could see, but he had no spiritual treasures built up because God wanted his heart and his life. But he didn't want to give that. He wanted to continue whoremonging, continue being a social drinker and do all those things. I said, God's not pleased with that. He wants your life as a sacrifice. You can't purchase your way into the kingdom. He'll honor you with your finances, but first give him your life and your heart, your reasonable service. Let's sing All Praise Him. I love y'all and appreciate you. Thank you for being in the house of God this morning. Maybe we'll have an evangelistic service here in the next day or two. Amen. I've just been doing some speaking and talking with you, trying to get some, change your thoughts a little bit, how you think. I know how I want to think. I want to think like a son of God. I want to think in the mind of Christ. I don't want to think in a polished religious mind. I want to think in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.